This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in at this time, Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Jason, are you in Florida already?
I am not. I am at our lovely airport. My flight leaves at 8:55.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
So we can get there in time for today's practice that he knew was going to get canceled, which of course it did.
Perfect.
Right.
Follow us on Twitter, 937TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. I look at the Penguin game last night, and I liken it to this. Okay, so you grew up in Brentwood, right?
Yes, sir.
So they had like a basketball court there, okay, right? And then
yep.
Older guys would come down sometimes and mess around, and then it'd be like 3 points from game point, and they'd be like, okay, now we're going to play. These kids can't beat us, and boom, they take you down on the block, and they'd score every time. The Penguins feel to me like in regular season games that when they want to step on the gas, they'll let teams kind of hang around, but then their superstars say, okay, it's serious right now, we're going to step on the gas. Or when they give a lead away or it gets close, okay, we're going to step on the gas. Kind of like the pickup basketball kind of stuff. Is that what the regular season is for these guys? When they want to go up and down, but there's a danger in that too, that you have to kind of try to play at a certain level?
I think you're really on to something, Colin. And you know what? Being where they've been, I honestly don't fault them. I mean, how the NHL season is just excruciatingly long. How in the world are these guys supposed to get up for a game in October when, you know, they've played the playoff series that they have the past 2 years? And I think Mike Sullivan, you know, to his credit, he has to walk a line between losing his stuff when they play like this and realizing what he has in front of him. He wants them to focus on the process, but I think it's just human nature, being where they've been, where they know, especially if you look at a Rangers team that's 1-5, and in that first period they were just god-awful. How can you not kind of feel comfortable and go into cruise control mode and feel like you can get away with some stuff? And yeah, I mean, you don't want to do it for a month straight, but if they do it last night like you're talking about, turn it on at key times, this team is better than most in the NHL. They have the star power that can enable them to sort of kick it into gear. So I think the key is to just have moments like they did last night where they are able to turn it on and they don't have to count on that for long stretches to kind of dodge through the raindrops, if that makes any sense.
So we can agree, though, there's another gear there with no urgency to get there, kind of. But what you can say and see is Brian Rust is playing at a higher level and seems to be comfortable no matter what line he's on. That's pretty good to have a player like that.
Yeah, Rusty's been really good. And I think that's a key thing too, Josh, what you're mentioning, being able to play any which way. I still think they're trying to sort some things out in their top six, whether they want to play Russ with Malkin, Crosby, but at this point it doesn't matter. He's been so good. I mean, he's not going to keep up this scoring pace, obviously, but you play with those guys, and you go to the front of the net, you don't screw around, you play a little bit of defense. We saw it with guys like Dupuis and Kunitz, and through the years, I don't want to say ride coattails, but if you do the right thing, if you play the game the right way, you're going to get rewarded on a line with those guys. And just wait until Malkin and Kessel kind of get it figured out, too. I felt like they were okay at times last night, but again, like we're talking about the overall team game, it was just a little bit up and down. I think Malkin's been kind of that way so far this season. If that line gets hot, I've been saying this for a long time, I like Rust on that line, but I just like what he brings overall. You talk about a player who is just tailor-made for what Mike Sullivan wants to do and skating. And I don't know how many times last night I saw him just getting loose in the corners on pucks, chasing after things, creating turnovers, just generally being a pain in the butt. Doing that with confidence is huge.
He's an elevator guy, right, Jason? You can put him up on, you can move him up and down. He fits on any kind of a line. One thing, and I was talking to some of the players about this the other day, the slashing stuff. You know, I think that's something that Mike Sullivan can point to and say, okay, you know, you understand about the, you know, you can't be up for every game, but you got to figure this thing out sooner or later. And so far, it looks like they haven't really figured it out.
You know what, though, Jim? And I was doing the same thing. And I don't think they know what to figure out. And I think that's kind of a problem right now with the NHL. Like, we talk about umpires in Major League Baseball, and all you want is to be consistent. It doesn't matter if you're calling low and outside. Just call low and outside all game, and we'll work within that. These guys don't really know what to work within at this point. I was talking to Letang the other day, and he's saying he like actually looks at the referees for these games to, you know, and you try to figure out, okay, this guy's calling it. This guy's not calling it. I can get away with it here. I can't get away with it. That's a bad place to be in when they have no consistency. And, of course, the NHL would sort of, you know, this would be something the NHL would do or would not do. But it's just kind of all over the map. Like, I don't even think these guys care if we crack down, if we don't crack down, whatever. They're like, just make up your mind. And I think that's the hardest part right now is trying to figure out who's calling what.
Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. You can text the Fan Morning Show or all our shows. Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. What's going to happen with the goaltending situation back-to-backs in Florida?
I would have to think Antti Niemi is going to play Friday, and they'll put Murray the second leg of the back-to-back. I think at some point you just need to know what you have with Antti Niemi. Like, do you have a guy who has played in front of two really bad teams the first two games of the season? And that might be the case. And if so, you need to give him the first leg, see what he has. And if he still stinks, then I think you need to sort of get to a point where you make a decision. Did we screw this up? Are we going to go with Tristan Jarry? And Antti Niemi could be completely fine. He could have just played, been the unfortunate benefactor of two of their worst performances of the season. I don't know. But I would look to see Antti Niemi Friday, and then you go with Murray on Saturday. They got to get this back-to-back thing figured out, man. I don't know how many more of these they can afford to have. I mean, they've had some putrid performances. If you want to chalk them up to bad teams and bad travel, fine. But these are, you know, you're seeing Tampa again. The travel isn't treacherous. Like, you'd expect a better performance this time around.
Is it still a priority to get that third center, maybe another defenseman? I know they're not in a rush because obviously they're fine where they are. They're winning games. Ugly as it is, they're winning games, which is all you want. But are they still kind of keeping an eye out?
Yeah, I talked to Rutherford the other day about this, and just a remarkable sense of patience, stubbornness. I don't know what it is. I think everybody's going to be thrilled whenever this thing comes to a close, but I've been involved with Rutherford with a couple of these things, and the patience that he has shown with this thing and being sort of as, I don't know, straight-lined or goal-oriented as he is, I saw this a lot with the Phil Kessel trade. And I don't know if he's doing something huge like the Kessel deal, but it wouldn't surprise me that he's being very specific, and he's going to keep waiting. I don't think they feel a great sense of urgency. I think they know that that's a move they have to make at some point, but they are going to wait for the right guy. And right now, McKeg's given them enough.
What has anything surprised you? I know we're only, you know, what, eight games into this thing or so. Has anything what you've seen among any of the players or just anything in general with this team surprised you at all?
Yeah, I would say a lot, Jim. Olimata has, I think, been a really pleasant surprise. I thought he's been just absolutely fantastic. Jake Gensel's been a little bit quiet. He's got some chances, but I thought maybe Jake Gensel would be on a little bit more of a tear through eight games. The overall team play I thought would be a lot better. I know we're talking about some bad habits and feeling like I can turn it on and turn it off, but I really thought their defense would be better than to be giving up some of the chances that they're giving up. I thought maybe they'd get a little bit more offense from that fourth line. Doesn't feel like that's much of a threat right now. If you look at Ryan Reeves, when they brought him in here, I really thought this was a guy who could play 8, 9, maybe even 10 minutes a game. And right now he's at, you know, 6, maybe 7 and not really playing an impactful role. So just off the top of my head, those are a couple of things that have kind of, I didn't expect Brian Rust to have 8 points in 6 games or whatever it is that he has. I mean, that's darn impressive. I think there's been some intrigue so far, for sure.
Two more quick ones before we let you go. One, are you standing directly underneath the speaker? You sound like thoughtful, like a Hallmark movie because of the music in the background. What's happening?
Guys, I'm so sorry. I'm trying to find a place that doesn't have a speaker, and everywhere I go, they're playing the symphony music. You know how it is there. And then they, in airports, I swear, they get paid like per announcement or something, and I was like running from place to place trying to avoid the speaker. So,
like, see, OJ,
I'm walking to another place and I'm walking into another speaker.
Yes.
You can't get away from it.
And last thing, a serious question. Elimination of the All-Star game, will it happen in the next 3-5 years?
I don't think so. I really don't. I saw the thing that they're going to try to do an international event, but I think this is still a good thing for cities, you know, not so much for the hockey because the hockey stinks, but to take it into cities like Florida and places that maybe wouldn't get a huge pop otherwise, and also to kind of reward fans. Like, I've been going back and forth with the NHL a little bit about whether they're going to get one in Pittsburgh, and I do think it's something they want to get done before the Crosby and Malkin era finishes, and that's sort of like a, I don't want to say a thank you gift, but sort of a, these guys are a big part of it, and we want you to have something like that. So, no, I think they're going to figure out the international thing. I think the All-Star game will exist.
Jason Mackey, headed where the climate suits his clothes, headed south to cover the Penguins. Thank you, Jason. We'll talk soon.
Good stuff, guys. Thank you.
Yep. Right, work hard today.
All right, yeah. Safe. Okay. He's headed to Florida like 24 hours early.
I was talking to him yesterday.
48 hours early.
I said, you going to New York? No. I said, I'm going to Florida. He goes, I'm going down Wednesday morning because – well, I know they're not going to practice, but I got to be there just in case. And they just got the day off in Florida.
Man, not
beautiful.
Bad.
Oh, that's a good. That's smart.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us, and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.